Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my joy to continue in Ephesians 5. And we're looking at verse 21 again today to understand by the teaching of the Bible and in the preaching of the Word of God that we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. We're talking about authority and submission. Praise God. And the Bible teaches us clearly and, of course, excellently about this aspect of life, a most important aspect. And so we read in Ephesians 5 in verses 20 and 21, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. Praise God. The truth that God calls us to be obedient, to submit ourselves to those He has placed in authority over us. And so we want to continue to learn more about this today. My friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, God of all authority and order and dominion, glory and grace, eternal sovereign. God, you have lawful right. You have all right to command us. We are your creatures. You created us, and praise God, you have recreated your sons in the Lord Jesus Christ and given us new hearts so that we want to please you and obey you, Father. We love to come and bow our knees, bow our hearts before you, and exalt your name and declare you are high above all. And we come humbly as your sons, asking that your will is done, Lord. Bless the word of God today. Bless this needed teaching about authority and submission. Fill our hearts, enlarge our hearts, Lord. Expand us, our knowledge of truth, and therefore, Lord, as you free us and give us the ability in a greater measure to submit to you, first of all, and then the authorities you have ordained, Lord, then fill our hearts with joy, because it is our blessing to come under your great rule. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that all authority is given in heaven and on earth to you, glorious King, Lord Jesus Christ, God of love and grace and blessing, God of life and truth. And so, Lord, continue to guide us and speak to us in our teaching. Order our thinking, order our lives to your word, and bring us into submission to your glorious word, which is life, the very commandment of God, life to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, we're talking about authority and submission, and this is laying a foundation for the teaching that will begin in verse 22 about godly order and authority and submission in the family. And we've been mentioning during the last couple of weeks truths about authority and submission. We're looking at verses in the Bible, and we're looking at the theology of authority and submission, understanding the principles, the key truths involved in this great and vast subject. And we've been looking at examples of authority and submission to better understand this key, this most important truth. And as I begin this morning, it came into my heart and mind that in Uganda, there is an understanding in the culture as a whole, and we see this exemplified, for instance, as we go to the village, in that children are taught to humble themselves and to honor and to respect their elders. And so many times when I visit a church in a village, I will find that the children will come near to the elders, to those older than them, and they will come near to me and they will bow the knee to express submission and honor and respect to older people. And of course, that's a biblical concept, a biblical truth and principle. The Bible calls for the younger people to submit to their elders, and in submission, in this godly way, in this way which is in obedience to the Word of God, then there is an innate expression of honor and respect. Now, all of this goes back to the commandment that we are to honor our father and mother. And we see the extension of this glorious truth in the law of Christ in the new covenant to mean, as we find it in Romans 13, for instance, and as we find it here in Ephesians 5, that all believers are to submit to the God-ordained authorities and show proper honor and respect and fear to the authorities. And we do this because we have come to see the great and glorious God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that He has all authority, and that we were created in a structure of hierarchical obedience. God created us and fashioned a place for us in the creation, and that our blessing, because of Christ and His gift of salvation to us through faith and repentance in His name, is that we come to realize and assume our proper place in life, in the very creation. We become obedient sons to God, and we come to honor Him, bow the knee, just like the child in the village would bow the knee to his elders. We come to bow the knee, and we come to rejoice in our inmost being to submit to God our Father. This is our blessing of blessings. We are saved and given a new heart, a heart of love, respect, honor, and a desire, a strong desire to submit to God, to obey God in all things. And this leads us to understand that we must lovingly, respectfully, gladly, with honor and fear, submit ourselves to all authorities that our great God has ordained to order existence, order the very creation, and order life. And so we find teaching in the New Testament that we must come under God-appointed, qualified leadership in the church, and so reflect this great godly blessing of submitting to God and to one another in the fear of the Lord. Yes, the church reflects this truth. In fact, all of creation reflects the glorious truth. God is over all. He has all glory, dominion, majesty, and might. He is the sovereign, the king of His creation. He rules it. And so the creation must recognize the authority of Almighty God. And we must come under His rule. Praise God. And so in the new creation, regenerated men who believe in the crucified, risen Christ have become the sons of God, those who indeed are obedient to God Almighty, who has all authority. And so submission and subordination, that keeping our place in the creation order, staying in rank in a military sense, not rebelling, coming out of order, trying to usurp and take over another's position who is higher than we are. This godly subordination is to be lived out, praise God. And we looked at examples of this in the Bible. We saw, for instance, in the story of the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8, that the Lord said he had great faith because as a man under authority, he stated that, and as a man over others with authority, he clearly understood the issue of authority and submission. And he trusted Christ. He recognized Christ's ultimate authority and he submitted to that authority with faith. Once again, the Lord said, this man had a great faith. And then we saw in Matthew chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 21 about Christ's authority. That is, that the Lord Christ was questioned about his right to do what he did, his right to perform miracles, and his right to teach and speak as he did with such power and authority that was recognized by all, even by those who opposed him. And there we saw that the Lord Christ, having all authority, refused to discuss this authority, which was his, with those who denied his authority. Christ in this is exercising his responsibility to punish disobedience. And so light and darkness have nothing in common. And when the darkness came upon Christ and demanded an explanation, he did not respond with an explanation. He did not fulfill this will of evil, if you will. And in so doing, makes a wonderful statement about his authority. Praise God. Amen. About his authority. He has all authority. And I want to share with you this morning what I believe are wonderful thoughts by a great Puritan preacher by the name of Thomas Manton. He lived centuries ago, but I was reading recently and I was blessed by his thoughts, and I want to share his thoughts with you this morning. Again, this is given in helping us to understand Christ's authority. Praise God. It's a rather long quote. It's actually a couple of paragraphs, but let me share this with you. It's three paragraphs, looks like, at least. It's so wonderful. I pray that it would be a blessing, will be a blessing to your hearts. By the properties of Christ's office, he has three things to qualify him for this high office, that is, as the mediator. Let me just note, as the one given right with authority from God to save the people of God. First point, absolute supreme authority is Christ's. And therefore, we must hear him and hearken to him. This is usually made the ground and reason of the gospel invitation, to invite sinners to submit themselves to seek after God in this way, as also Matthew 11, 27 and 28. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, etc. There is no true knowledge of God but by Christ and the gospel revelation which he hath established. Therefore, here we must seek rest for our souls. So John 3, 35 and 36. The Father loveth the Son and hath put all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not seen life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. First, his mediatorial authority is acknowledged, and then faith and obedience to the gospel is called for. For to the sentence of the Son of God we must stand or fall. So when Christ instituted and sent abroad his messengers to invite the world to the obedience of the gospel, Matthew 28:18 through 20, all power is given to me both in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. He hath absolute and supreme authority to gather his church, to appoint ministers and ordinances, to bestow the Spirit, to open and close heaven and hell as he pleaseth, to dispose of all affairs in the world for the furtherance of the gospel, and to enjoin the whole world obedience to his commands and to embrace his doctrine. Amen. Praise God. Number two, all manner of sufficiency and power of God to execute this office. John 3:34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him. The former prophets had the Spirit in a limited measure bestowed on them by God for such particular purposes as best pleased him. Therefore, all their prophecies begin, "Thus saith the Lord," as having for every particular message and errand new revelation. But on Christ, the Spirit descended once for all, and commanded the belief of all, and obedience to all that he should say. Therefore it is said, Colossians 2:3, "In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is ignorant of none of those things which are to be known and practiced in order to our eternal salvation. They are deposited with him to be dispensed to us." Number three, there is in Christ a powerful efficacy, as he hath absolute authority to teach in his name, and fullness of sufficiency to make known the mind of God to us, so he hath power to make his doctrine effectual. As when he dealt with his disciples, after he had opened the scriptures, he opened their understandings. Luke 24:25. So he opened the heart of Lydia. Acts 16:14. He can teach so as to draw. John 6:44-45. He can excite the drowsy mind, change and turn the rebellious will, cure the distempered affections, make us to be what he persuadeth us to be. There is no such teacher as Christ, who doth not only give us our lesson, but in an heart to learn. Praise God. Therefore, to him we must submit, hear nothing against him, but all from him. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Such glorious truths revealed by the Spirit to this preacher, to this great man, Thomas Manton. And so we see this, that in this, I should say, that Christ has absolute authority to do all that he does. Amazingly, even the authority to open a man's heart to his word and to lead the man to obey his word. Christ has such authority. Praise God. And that's our hope, isn't it? That the all authoritative Christ would open our hearts and lead us to obey his word and will. Praise God. Just quickly again, he has absolute authority to save, to gather his church. Praise God. He has absolute authority to appoint ministers and ordinances, to bestow the Spirit. He has authority to open and close heaven and hell to men as he pleases. He has authority in the world in every aspect to further his own gospel, his commandment. And he has authority to enjoin the whole world, to command the world of men to obey his will, his word, his commandments, and embrace his teaching. Praise God. And so, wonderfully, Manton touches upon great and glorious truths which are for our edification and enlargement of heart and refreshment this morning, my dear friends. Praise the Lord. And so, Manton mentions some aspects of Christ's authority. We find many other aspects in the Bible, but I wanted to share this with you this morning so that you could learn more about the authority of Christ. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the mediator. He has been given commandment and authority by God, his Father, and the man Jesus Christ has perfectly obeyed his Father. And in this authority given him by God commands obedience and repentance to all men. The commandment of Christ in the gospel is to be obeyed. Men are commanded to believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 John. Men are commanded to repent of every sin in Christ, in Acts 17. And the glorious and wonderful truth is that if any person will obey the commandment of Christ given in the gospel call to believe and repent, that he shall be saved from his sins. He will be given a new heart that rejoices in obedience to the King. He will be forgiven of every sin, past, present, and future. He will be given the blessing, the gift of eternal life. He will receive every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And so the man who will obey Christ Jesus, God over all, God the Son, is saved and becomes obedient to the entire law of Christ, the revealed will of God in the Holy Bible, particularly in the New Testament. God commands salvation. His word is a commandment to man, and so we must obey his word and be saved from our sins, praise God, and then blessed with all of the blessings of Christ. Amen. And let me mention this morning that Christ Jesus, God over all, the perfect man, will never abuse his authority. He will render perfect judgment for disobedience, a judgment which terrifies men because all power and authority is his. Christ Jesus is able to open the door to hell and to cast sinners forever into hell. He is able to punish and will punish perfectly in his justice without abuse, and wonderfully, he is able to govern and lead in his grace without abuse. We have all suffered abuse at the hands of fallen men who have abused their authority. But my friends, Christ Jesus, the perfect man, never abuses his authority. He will render perfect reward and blessing to obedience to his word, and he will render perfect blessing and judgment to disobedience to his word. And so we are all under his rule. And blessed are we who come to see this glorious truth and submit to his will and believe in him and repent and thereafter come to live a life of godly submission to the will of God. Amen. And my friends, we also have noted in past times that we find in Mark chapter 10 that there is great reward for following Christ, for believing in Christ. Praise God. There is eternal reward and blessing to those who are submitted to his authority and obey him. There is the reward of nearness and the blessing of receiving authority and rule over others in the new heaven and the new earth. But again, we must not lord it over others, that is, abuse authority over others, those of us who are placed in positions of authority, but we must submit to God and live out and exercise godly authority, which requires responsibility and the ability to reward obedience and punish disobedience. Praise God. Now we'll see that much more clearly in our teaching about submission in the family, but the authority of Christ and the authority that He delegates in the creation means that Christ has all authority to place those in authority in positions in which they have responsibility to rule, and they have the ability to reward obedience, and they have the ability to punish disobedience. So authority involves this great responsibility of having the ability to reward obedience and punish disobedience. Praise the Lord. Now, my friends, we want to further understand this. These are some ideas about how it is that that we are to please God and to submit to godly authority. We're just trying to understand a bit more about what this means. And so we want to also see that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all authority to govern on heaven and on earth, has given us the great pattern in His own life and in His own exercise of His God-given authority. The Son of Man came to serve, in that He teaches us that God desires servant leadership. Praise the Lord. Servant leadership. And we find this in John chapter 12 in verses 23 through 26. So again, another example of what authority and submission is to look like in the Bible. And so let me turn there in my Bible to John 12. If you are able to turn there this morning, please do that also. John 12 and verses 23 through 26. Just another example. We're just fleshing out the picture of what godly authority looks like, what it is to look like, and then we're going to, with this foundational teaching, better understand what authority and submission is to look like in the family. And so Christ's rule is characterized by servant leadership. Praise the Lord. Servant leadership. Here we find in John 12, 23. But Jesus answered them, that's the disciples, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Praise God. So in these verses, we see that biblical authority is a reflection of servant leadership. Praise God. The leader is given authority. That is, he is given the responsibility, and there's a consequence for his leadership, his exercise of this responsibility. The good leader will receive reward and blessing for his obedience. The bad leader will be punished for his disobedience. And so the man in authority in this way is also under authority and is ruled by the same principles as those under him. Praise God. And so Jesus Christ, the man who is God, who was given all authority as the mediator, says here that he came to serve. He always did what his Father does. And so he came to serve, to lay his life down. And so he exercises this God-given responsibility as mediator. He exercises his authority not in purely ruling and insisting upon authority apart from service. He doesn't insist upon obedience apart from his godly service to his people. Now, praise the Lord. We are all familiar with those who lord it over. That is the world's concept, fallen man's concept, a distorted view of authority, in which a person is given authority, and they simply exercise the power to command over others. And in doing so, there is great abuse and oppression, but that is not the characteristic of the Son of Man. His rule and authority is characterized by loving service to others. This is a reflection of his great heart, of his name, of his character, in that the eternal Son of God has always been and is and will be in a condition, a state of absolute submission to his Father. Praise God. His very nature, the nature of the Son of God, is that he is a servant to his Father. He is equally fully God with the Father. They are truly equals, but he exists in his equality with God as a son to his Father. It is his nature, his delight, to obey and please his Father. See the authority structure in the Trinity. The Son obeys the Father. He is a son by eternal generation. That is, he is eternally existent, coming forth from the Father as a true son. And so he honors and respects and waits upon and obeys his Father. He exercises his leadership from this servant's heart. Praise God. I was blessed by the teaching of the Vice Chancellor of ABU University, African Bible University, fairly recently, in which he shared with us this great encouragement that Jesus is forever the servant of God. He will always serve. In fact, even in glory, the Son of Man will serve his people. And it's just an amazing and astounding thought, isn't it? That Jesus, God over all, will come and serve us in the presence of God, because in his heart, in his nature, he is a servant. And he leads, praise God, in serving his Father, in serving others. And so he calls Christians to be people like him who exercise their leadership, their authority, in serving others, not insisting upon simply commanding others and thereby abusing and oppressing. A leader is authorized to serve those he leads. Praise God. And so, again, we're going to see this fleshed out more in Ephesians 5 in the family. Let me just share a few more thoughts with you this morning. Our time is going quickly, but we realize that in Matthew 28:13, where Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth," and he gives us commandments. He sends the apostles forth. This is true for all believers, a commandment from Christ. We must go to the very nations, to all peoples, and make disciples, evangelize them, disciple them. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of God. We are given commandment to teach the nations to observe all things Christ has commanded us. We are to teach them the law of Christ. And he says, "Lo, in this, he is with us always. We are not alone. He has sent us," in his authorized word, "he has sent us, he has authorized us to go, commanded us to go, and that he will be with us as we do these things in obedience to him, even to the end of the world." And so the Son of Man has now come. Jesus has been incarnated. Jesus came and suffered. He died. He bled on the cross. He gave up his ghost. His body was placed in the tomb. He came alive from the dead after 3 days by his own almighty power. He has come before the Ancient of Days as the mediator and fulfilled the promise of Daniel 7, 13 and 14. And so the last stage of history has begun. It will be completed when the sovereign Christ comes again in earth in glory and when he judges all. Now, quickly, we want to also look at some thoughts about the heavenly realm or the authority of Christ. And we don't have a lot of time, but let me just share with you the helpful thoughts of a Christian writer. And so we understand that Christ, who is an absolute authority, is now reigning upon the throne of God, sitting on the throne of God at God's right hand. We call this his heavenly session. And in this heavenly activity, he is ruling the creation. He is guiding and directing his church. He is walking among his people. He is present because he is God on the throne in his church, in this world also. He is omnipresent. And he rides to battle, Revelation 19, in which he is seen to express his authority and to judge disobedience and evil and to reward obedience and bless righteousness. Praise God. And so he is active in his authority. Psalm 110 shows us the Messiah at the right hand, that he is also king and priest. He has authority as king to put enemies, his enemies, under his feet, and as priest, he serves God and directs God's grace and kingdom of grace forever. Christ rules over all spheres of authority, whether angelic or human. Praise God. And his kingdom, in a direct sense, though, can be thought of as the church. He is the head of the church, the body, and he governs his church, his universal church, found in the creation. He governs his church militants, the church, the body of true believers in the earth, by his word and spirit. Praise God. And so the word of God is found to be the key of the kingdom, the gospel declaration. It has all the power of God. It is the authority of God. And Christ authorizes that the word of God through godly appointed leaders is to be a sword in which there is this exercise of authority, the punishing of disobedience and the rewarding of obedience. Praise God. Christ has also maintained civil authority in all of human society, in all of mankind. There is a secular authority in which civil authority and peace is maintained. Christ exercises authority in this realm also. Christians are to seek in every aspect of our life to submit ourselves to his authority. He is the judge of creation. And so Christ reigns in this heavenly session and will continue to until every enemy, including death, is brought to be nothing. Death, the last enemy, will cease to exist when he appears and raises the dead for judgment. He will exercise judgment over every person ever created by God. And his work of mediatorial rule in the kingdom will then end, and he will triumphantly deliver the kingdom to his God and Father. Amen. Praise God. Well, my friends, I've gone long again today. I trust this is helpful to you, though. Let us pray. Father, thank you, thank you. Continue to teach us about authority and submission, and have your glory and bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.